May my hands be holy when I kneel in prayer. May my life be holy when I praise. Help me, Lord, respect the role you've given me. May I serve with honor all my days. May I serve with honor in the role you've given me. And may I never go beyond my place as I serve my Savior and I give you praise. Help me follow the truth and I'll be saved. May my hands be holy when I kneel in prayer. May my life be holy when I praise. Help me, Lord, respect the role you've given me.
Good Sunday morning, friends and neighbors, and welcome to the Word of Life radio broadcast. I am Jeff Clevenger, your speaker, and I am the minister for the Sand Rock Church of Christ, and it is an honor and a privilege to get to join you this morning. I'm thankful you've taken the time to tune in to our program, and I hope you've got your copy of God's Word handy. I hope you'll take it out and open it up and turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to be in that book and in that chapter today, and we're going to continue along this theme that we have been in for the last several weeks. We need Jesus because. Friends, we live in a world that's struggling right now. We live in a world that's messed up right now. We live in a world that's struggling with this COVID-19 and all that that brings. And we need Jesus to get us through that. We're struggling because of all the civil unrest that's going on in our country right now, and we need Jesus to get us through that. We need Jesus for so many reasons. Our kids are about to go back to school, and we need Jesus to be with them and to be with the teachers and to be with the bus drivers and cafeteria workers and administrators and all the people that are going to be involved in that. We need Jesus for a lot of reasons, and that's what we've been looking at. We started in the book of James, and we saw two reasons in the book of James for why we needed Jesus. We saw that He promises a crown of life, and that's why we need Jesus, and that's for sure. And we saw that he's coming back, and that's why we need Jesus. And then we jumped into the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we've seen several reasons that the Apostle Paul gave the church at Thessalonica for why they needed Jesus. We've seen the fact that we need Jesus because he delivers us from the wrath to come, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And we need Jesus because he establishes our hearts, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. In chapter 4, he tells us we need Jesus because he is the avenger and he is the resurrection. And in chapter 5, we've already seen that we need Jesus because he is our Savior today. As we close out this beautiful book of 1 Thessalonians, we're going to see that we need Jesus because he is our preservation. He is our preservation. So I hope you're tuned in and excited for that. I hope you've got your copy of God's Word. I hope you've got pen and paper to take notes if you need to. And I hope you'll dive into that study with me. But before we jump into that study, bear with me just a minute and let me tell you a little bit about the Sand Rock Church of Christ. Friends, this program is brought to you by the Sand Rock Church of Christ, just a group of Christians that in a lot of ways are just like you. We're struggling with COVID-19. We're struggling with civil unrest. We're struggling with all the things that are going on in our country. We're struggling with the financial difficulties that it's bringing on our nation and on our world. We're struggling with all those things, and we want you to know that we love you and that we care about you. We're a congregation that does love the Lord. We are a congregation that does care about our community. We are a congregation that is dedicated to making a difference, and we hope, friends, that you'll let us make a difference in your life. We want you to know where we meet. We meet at 3633 Alabama Highway 68 in San Rock, Alabama, up on Lookout Mountain. You'll find us about 3 miles from Leesburg, and if you're coming from that direction, we'll be on the left-hand side of the road. You'll find us about 6 miles from Collinsville, and if you're coming from that direction, you'll find us on the right-hand side of the road. So friends, you know where we meet, and we also want you to know when we meet. And just like a lot of other folks. This COVID-19 has affected our hours of worship. Right now, we are meeting on Sunday morning for a split service. The first half of our split service is at 9:45 on Sunday morning, and the second half of our split service is at 11 on Sunday morning. And we invite you to come to either one of those services. If you're a visitor, you're not sure which one to come to, you can come to either one. You can come to both. We've got masks. We've got plans to maintain social distancing and do what we need to do to keep everybody safe and still worship Almighty God. If you're unable to come, you can watch those two services live stream on our Facebook page, or you can come and park in the parking lot, and we will be FM transmitting those two services on FM 99.9. Also, on Wednesday nights, we have a live stream midweek Bible devotional on our Facebook page at 7 p.m. So we invite you to come and be a part of those services with us, if you can. Friends, we want you to know you're welcome to come and be with us at any and every opportunity that you may have. And we want you to know that we're here for you, that we love you, and that we want to do anything and everything that we can to help you. All right, folks, now it's time to dive into our study. I'm looking forward to our study today. I hope you are. It comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He has already told us so many reasons in this book why we need Jesus Christ. He's been trying to explain to them some things that they didn't understand. They didn't understand the second coming of Jesus Christ. They thought he was coming just any minute, so they had stopped doing the everyday things of life and just were waiting for him to come. And Paul says, you don't know when he's going to come, so you need to just go about your life, and he will come when he comes, but you need to make sure you're living your life the way he would want you to. They had a misconception about those that had already died. They thought that they were going to miss out on the blessings that Christ would bring at his return. And Paul says, listen, you don't understand. Those that have died in Christ are going to be the first called to meet Jesus in the air, and then we'll be called to meet Jesus in the air. They're not going to miss out. And he has told them so many beautiful things and so many wonderful things in this book. And what we're going to look at today is what he tells them as he is finishing up this book, as he is finishing up this writing. And here's what he says. Let's just read it together, beginning in verse 23 of chapter 5. He says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Well, what a way to end the book. And we're going to take a look at some things, and we're going to see what Paul has to say here. And the main thrust of what he wants them to get is he is finishing out this great letter to them, is that he wants them to be sanctified completely. He wants them to be sanctified completely. And the idea behind sanctified, we've talked about it on this program before, is that they be set apart. They be set apart for the service of Jesus. They be set apart as the citizens of the kingdom, as members of the body, as members of the church, as the bride of Christ. They be set apart to that life and to that service and to following that direction. And he's talking about them being sanctified, set apart completely. And we've talked about this idea of completely. With God, you're either all in or all out. You're either in Christ or you're not in Christ. You're either saved or you're lost. There's nowhere in between. There's no halfway. None of those things count. It's all or nothing, and he wants them to be sanctified completely. And boy, I tell you what, I love verse 24. He's talking about their sanctification completely. He's talking about them being preserved blameless. And he's talking about God doing his part where that is concerned. And he says, he who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. He who calls you is faithful. You can depend on God. You can depend on Christ. You can depend on the Holy Spirit. They will do what they say. They will keep every single promise. You don't have to worry about that. They will do it, he says. He who also will do it. He's going to do his part to sanctify you completely. He's going to do his part to take care of the whole of your spirit, soul, and body. He's going to do his part to preserve you blameless. He's going to do his part to have you ready at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Make no mistake about it. You can trust in God. You can have faith in God. You can depend on and rely on God. There's no doubt about it. Now let's remember who's writing this letter. It's from the Apostle Paul. He's mentioned also his traveling companions, namely Silvanus and Timothy. This is coming from him. It's written to the brethren at Thessalonica, and it's written to encourage them. It's written to instruct them. It's written to rebuke them in the areas that they're wrong. It's written to do all the things that Paul will later in 2 Timothy chapter 4 tell Timothy. He says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. He says, Timothy, you need to be ready to preach the word, whether they want to hear it or whether they don't. You need to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Reprove, teach, rebuke, correct, exhort, encourage. And that's what Paul's been doing in this letter, reproving, rebuking, exhorting with all long-suffering and doctrine. He wants these folks to be sanctified completely. He wants these folks to be everything that they can and should be in Jesus Christ. He wants these folks to be ready when the day of the Lord comes. He wants them to stand ready when Jesus returns to take his church home. And that's what his writing has been all about. And listen, he mentions in here twice the brethren. He says, brethren, pray for us. And he says, greet all the brethren. And he says, read this epistle to all the holy brethren. So listen, we're included here. It's not just the church at Thessalonica, but we're included. Because if you are in Christ, then you are part of brethren. You're part of the holy brethren. You're part of all the brethren. But the key is to be in Christ Jesus. And there's only one way to get into Christ. It's an interesting study to do. Take out your phone or your tablet and put in into Christ in the search engine. And I'm going to tell you what you're going to find. You're going to find that the only way to get into Christ is to be baptized into Christ. Romans chapter 6. Now there's some things that need to come before that. You need to hear God's word, Romans 10, 17, and you need to believe it, Mark 16, 16. You need to be willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. You need to be willing to confess the blessed name of Jesus, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And you need to be willing to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts 2, 38. You do those things and you will be put into Christ. And you will be put into where all blessings flow from, in Christ. And you will be ready to meet the Lord on Judgment Day. Now, brethren, it doesn't end there. Friends, it doesn't end there. But once you've put on Christ in baptism and you've been added to the church, added to the kingdom, added to the bride, added to the members of the body, then you have a function to fulfill. You have a duty to do. You have an obligation to get out and to work. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to earn your salvation, because you can't earn it. It's a gift from God. It's a gift by the grace of God. You can't earn it, but that doesn't mean you don't have anything to do. Revelation 2:10 says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life." The implication the other way is that if you're not faithful unto death, he won't give you a crown of life. We've got a life to live. We've got a walk to walk. We've got a path to stay on all the days of our life. John said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with him, and his blood continues to cleanse us always." But it hinges on us walking in the light as he is in the light. That's the idea of what John is saying in Revelation when he says, "Be thou faithful unto death." Walk in the light. Stay in the light. Stay with Jesus. Follow Jesus. Never give up on Jesus. See it all the way through to the end. So, we got Paul and his cohorts writing to these brethren. He's encouraging and exhorting and rebuking them. He's trying to teach them what they need to know and encourage them to do what they need to do in order to be ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he says in this section that we're looking at here that he wants them to be sanctified completely. And that word sanctify is one of the key words here in this passage. Set apart. He wants them to be preserved. And we understand what it is to be preserved. Something that's going to last. Something that's not going to rot. Something that's not going to decay. When you put a preservative in food, it's so it'll last. When you put some kind of preservative on wood, it's so that the weather won't make it rot and disintegrate. He wants them to be able to last, and he wants them to stand blameless. So that's the focus of what he's talking about. As he closes out this letter, he wants them to be sanctified. He wants them to be preserved. He wants them to be blameless. And we understand what it is to be blameless. To be blameless is not necessarily to have never done anything wrong, because we've all done wrong. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Paul told the brethren in Rome. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means we've all done wrong. So you say, "Well, Brother Jeff, how can we be blameless?" Well, we're blameless when we're washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and the sin that we've committed has been taken away. It's been blotted out. We're now no longer blameless. We're no longer being held accountable for that. We're forgiven. And I don't know about you, but when I forgive someone, my goal and my aim is to never hold them blame for that again. And I hope when someone forgives me that that's their goal and that's their aim, to never blame me for that again. It's something that we're going to put behind us, and we're going to move on, and we're going to learn from, and we're going to do better. So that's the focus of what he's talking about here. And there's some very key things that we need to understand here. And here's number one: God sanctifies. God sanctifies. Don't miss that. God sanctifies. He starts this section out by saying, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely." The God of peace himself. So sanctification is a product of God. It's a work of God. It's something that God does. It's something that God takes care of. And it's the God of peace. And I want you to understand what he means by that. When we've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, we've fallen out of fellowship with God. We're now an enemy of God, and we're no longer at peace with God. But praise be to God, through Jesus Christ, his Son, and his sacrifice, the shedding of his blood, we can have peace. And it was God the Father himself that sent Jesus to die on the cross so that we could have that peace. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." God wants us to be at peace with him forever, and Jesus was the answer. Jesus was the solution. Jesus made the way. So God sanctifies, and he does it himself. He later says it this way: "He who calls you," down there in verse 24, "he who calls you." Well, who calls us? Well, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All three call us out of the world into the light, out of darkness into the light, out of sin into righteousness and forgiveness. God is calling us. But here's the thing. you know, my mother used to call me for dinner. Now, what did I have to do when Mama called me for dinner? Well, I had to come, right? I had to come, and if I didn't come, trust me, I got into trouble. Well, when God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit call us, what do we need to do? We need to come. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Well, Jesus said, "I'll give rest to who? Those that come." To me, we've got an obligation to do what we need to do, right? But it's He who calls us that provides the sanctification. If you take God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit out of it, friends, we have absolutely no hope. There'll be no sanctification. There'll be no justification. There'll be no righteousness. There'll be no forgiveness of sins. There'll be no salvation without Him. So we need to understand that. God sanctifies. And He finishes up that first little paragraph there. He says, He is faithful. He will do it. You don't have to doubt. You don't have to question. You don't have to worry. God, if God says something, it's going to happen. If God says something, He's going to do it. If God makes a promise, He's going to keep it. There's no doubt about it. God cannot lie. God cannot deceive. God is going to keep His promises. God is going to do everything He has ever said that He's going to do. He will see it all the way through. He will do it. So you don't have to worry about God doing His part, ever. You do not have to worry about God doing His part. And isn't that wonderful? To know that we can rely on and trust in and have faith in the God of heaven. What a wonderful thing. What peace that ought to bring. What comfort that ought to bring in these troubled times in which we live, to know that we can count on God. So number one, we need to understand God sanctifies. But here's number two, sanctification must be complete. Remember now, I said we're either all in or all out. You're either in Christ or you're not. You're either saved or you're lost. It's all or nothing. And here it is again, sanctification must be complete. And he says, he puts it this way, "Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know what he means there? He wants us to be sanctified completely, and he wants it to include every aspect of our being, every aspect of our being. You know, when Jesus was asked, "What's the greatest commandment, teacher?" He said, "Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength." You know what he meant? You love God with every part of your being. Every part of your being. Here's the fact. We're an intellectual being, so we need to be sanctified intellectually. We're a spiritual being. We need to be sanctified spiritually. We're a physical being. We need to be sanctified physically. We're an emotional being. We need to be sanctified emotionally. Every aspect of who we are, we need to be sanctified. And God does that. There's no doubt about it. We do have our part to play, and we're going to talk about that here in just a minute. But God sanctifies, and He can do it completely. It involves the whole of man. And that's what Jesus was talking about when He said, "Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength." Love God with every part of you. Love God with everything that makes you. Don't hold anything back. And we can't hold anything back from being sanctified, because if we do, we're going to miss out. We're going to miss out. And friends, heaven's too wonderful and hell's too horrible to miss out. So it involves our whole body. And he says that he wants us to be sanctified completely, and that involves being preserved blameless. Being preserved blameless. Well, the only way we're going to be preserved blameless is by the blood of Jesus Christ. God's going to do His part. But we've already talked about the fact that there are things that we need to do to be in that blood, to be in Christ, to come in contact with that blood. We need to be baptized in Christ in order to come in contact with that blood and to find that sanctification. That is a gift. Don't miss that. Just because baptism is something we need to do doesn't mean we've earned it, doesn't mean we've worked for it. It just simply means that God told us to do something, so we did it. God told us to do something, so we did it. We need to be preserved blameless. The only way to be blameless is to have all those sins washed away, to be in Christ. Friends, I hope you're in Christ this morning, but if you're not, I pray you do whatever you need to do to be in Christ. And I want you to know that the church, the brethren at the Sand Rock Church of Christ, stand ready to assist you with anything and everything that you need to do in order to be right with Almighty God, so you can stand before Him sanctified and justified when He returns. And He says it's at the Lord's coming. You know, God's being long-suffering with us as long as we're still breathing and as long as this world is still standing. So we've got an opportunity to be sanctified. We've got an opportunity to be justified. We've got an opportunity to be forgiven and to get into Jesus Christ as long as there's life in the body and as long as this world stands. But when there's no longer life in the body, our chance is gone. When this world no longer stands, our chance is gone, friends. Don't miss that. We've got to make sure we get ready. And that we stay ready, because here's the fact. None of us know when our day to die is going to come, and none of us know when the Lord's going to return. That could happen any second, so we've got to be ready at all times. And He's saying, friends, brethren, you need to be ready when the Lord comes, or when your end comes, whichever comes first. So, we've talked about the fact that God sanctifies, and we've talked about the fact that sanctification must be complete. Now, friends, here's where we need to remember something. God created us free moral beings, free will beings, where we could choose between right and wrong, good and bad, righteousness and sin. We could make a choice. So there's always room for us to make a choice. There's always a part that we've got to play. So what do we have to do? What's our role in sanctification? What do we need to do? And Paul gives them and us our marching orders. He says, brethren, pray for us. We need to be people of prayer. We need to pray for sanctification, our own as well as others. He says, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Now, in this time of COVID-19, I don't guess that would go over too well. And that was a cultural thing in their time. But the idea here is, listen, love each other, care about each other, be there for one another, lift up and encourage one another so that you can all be sanctified together. And then he says, and I want you to make sure, I charge you by the Lord Jesus Christ that you do what? That you make sure this epistle is read by all the holy brethren. People, friends, we need to be people of the book, always and forever. We can never get away from the book. It's God's love letter to us, and we need to love it, and we need to embrace it. This whole letter has been about sanctification. And it brings the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will always be with us if we stay with Him. Well, friends, believe it or not, we are out of time. Our program is coming to an end. I want to thank you so much for joining me today. And I want to remind you, this program's been brought to you by the Sand Rock Church of Christ. We want you to know we love you, and we hope you have a great weekend. See you next week, everybody. Make way for a blanket frosty one.
When the breezes blow,